This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48, you're listening to The Morning Run. And as we know, the country is marching towards another election, and that election is actually in Melaka. So the race is heating up there as political parties from all sides gear up for nomination day on November 8th. And the developments to date include PAS using the Pri Ikatan National logo in this elections, rejecting advances from UMNO, and this will likely mean that UMNO and BN will be facing a combined force of Bersatu and PAS, as well as Pakatan Harapan in this polls.
So a three-way poll, three-way race. Now, Pakatan Harapan in turn has rejected two of the four assemblymen from UMNO who withdrew support for the previous Melaka chief minister, but is still considering the remaining two despite protests from DAP. How will all these machinations play out on game day for Melaka on November 20th? Which coalition will take the historic state of Melaka? And is the outcome of this election a barometer of what to expect in GE15?
Which is exactly the topic of our poll that we're running this morning on Twitter. So do let us know what you think. But for more on this, we have on the line with us Professor Dr. Azmin Hassan, political analyst at University Technology Malaysia. Good morning, Dr. Azmin. Now, so UMNO's courtship of PAS has met a setback after their president announced that they will stick with the Pri Ikatan National logo in this election. So does this signal that Muafakat Nasional and their pact with UMNO is over?
No, Shuning, I don't think so that the pact is over because past decision is based on solely, I think, how many PAS can gain seats in the state Melaka, because we all knew that if PAS and UMNO work together, UMNO has the upper hand. If we take the GE40 result, when I said upper hand is that UMNO can say to PAS, you take this seat, you take this seat, and you take this seat. That's it. No more negotiation. But with Bersatu, PAS can negotiate because Bersatu don't have any history in terms of Melaka state election. But again, whatever the result outcome from the Melaka state election will make PAS to think again, who is their best ally coming GE15? So, Shuning, I don't think so. The pact within UMNO and PAS is the end, or the pact with Pri Ikatan Nasional, PAS including, is the permanent thing. I don't think so. It will be very fluid depending on the Melaka state election.
Okay, so Dr. Azmin, does this then mean like, okay, in Melaka we will... this will be one coalition, but if we move to another state, let's say in Pahang, it could be another coalition between all these three parties, between UMNO, Bersatu and PAS? Is it going to be as fluid as that?
Yes. When you mentioned Pahang, in Pahang, PAS and UMNO is very, I would say, cordial. They like to work with each other. And I think, yes, it is true. It's very odd and very weird it is. But again, what works in Melaka, for example, it's going to be different in Pahang. And also, it's going to be very different nationally when it comes to GE15. So I think if PAS in this matter, they strategically choose their ally, even though they are not that strong in certain states, they can be the kingmaker in this case.
So essentially, they decentralize the decision-making to the states. Can I just get your perspective? What is UMNO's reaction to all this?
Well, Philip, UMNO is expected. I think they are expecting that PAS will choose Pri Ikatan Nasional. That's the reason why 2-3 days before this, UMNO made a preemptive offer saying that they will work with PAS and PAS can use their own symbol. But again, UMNO deep in their heart know that PAS will choose Pri Ikatan Nasional. And Pri Ikatan Nasional also put out a statement that all allies will use the Pri Ikatan Nasional symbol. So I think it is something that UMNO expected. I think that's the reason why they made the early offer to keep PAS in the bind. And rightly so, because certain quarters in the grassroots of PAS felt uneasy of not using their own symbol in Melaka.
And I want to stay on UMNO because there's an interesting observation from this, and that it seems that Datuk Sri Najib remains very popular in the party because he's the point man for UMNO in the Melaka state elections.
Yes, Shuning. He remains very popular. If you look at the walkabout in Melaka, I think even Tan Sri Mahyudin cannot challenge the crowd that Datuk Sri Najib can pull. But again, I think the popularity is used, I think is being used by UMNO to demonstrate that they are capable, and Datuk Sri Najib is still in the heart of UMNO. I think UMNO is using the popularity of Datuk Sri Najib to go around of not campaigning, but walkabout as a tourist in a way that it can gain some votes. There's no doubt, Shuning.
So Bosco is back. And if you know, we want to just speak to about Bersatu. What's your gauge of their popularity in Melaka? Since, you know, this party is very different from the one last election with new coalition partners and leaders.
Yes, Philip, there is no history. We cannot use the GE14 as their benchmark, as a Bersatu benchmark of their popularity. Because during GE14, they have the whole of Pakatan Harapan supporting Bersatu. So I think that's one of the main reasons why PAS chose Bersatu, because they can be on the same level as Bersatu. And Bersatu cannot demand where they want to contest. So again, it is very, very difficult to gauge Bersatu popularity, except that they are part of the government. And before this, they are the main government. I think that's the advantage that Bersatu have comes Melaka election.
Now, I want to shift our focus to Pakatan Harapan, because it has only rejected two of the four assemblymen, while two are still being considered, and these are the assemblymen that literally brought down the state. So, but do you think this move will come back to bite Pakatan Harapan, both in terms of the outcome of the polls and even relations within the coalition?
Yes, Shuning. I'm sure there'll be some dissent in accepting two of the ex-UMNO assemblymen. But again, I like to use the analogy of COP26. country has been promised how much gas that they will emit and how much gas that they will absorb to get a neutral carbon factor. Again, I think Pakatan Harapan is trying to figure out, yes, there will be dissent, but the value added by these two assemblymen in taking or in gaining UMNO votes will be more than the dissent within Pakatan Harapan. So it's just a plus-minus game here. That's the reason why they did not accept Bersatu ex-assemblymen and, of course, the ex-DAP assemblymen, because these two assemblymen don't have any value added in gaining support except for the two ex-UMNO assemblymen, Shuning.
So hollow air, essentially. Now, let's just talk about the allocation of seats. You know, PKR 11, Amana 9, DAP 8, even though DAP won the most seats in GE15. Why so?
Well, I think everybody should look at DAP. They are very, very pragmatic, because they did not accept more than what they have during GE14, because they know they can win these 8 seats. Even though if they have an extra seat, the winning percentage is quite low. I think it is a very biased perception when Amanah got extra 3, PKR got extra 3. Within this extra 6, the 3+3, the winning percentage is quite low. I think it is quite interesting in this case, Philip. I think DAP is very, very pragmatic in reaching out to their supporters and how they are facing the Melaka general election.
Quality, not quantity, then.
So, Dr. Azmi, at the end of the day, who do you think will win the state elections in this three-cornered fight?
It's going to be very, very difficult. But as I look at right now, with PAS not supporting UMNO, and during the last election, UMNO, I think around 6 seats, their majority is less than 1,000. And within these 6 seats, PAS got more than 1,000 votes. I think likely that UMNO will lose some seats in this particular because of the PAS factor. But again, if UMNO lose some seats, then the advantage will be on Pakatan Harapan. So whether they will get 15 seats or more than 15 seats, as happened in GE14, in terms of percentage, in terms of probability, Shuning, I'm talking about probability in relation to GE14, I think Pakatan Harapan has the more brighter chances compared to Barisan Nasional.
And you know, just one last question, you know, Muda, do you think we should even talk about it?
Yes, why not? Muda, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to to contest using independent seat. It's going to be very difficult. They need Pakatan Harapan in this case. But again, on Pakatan Harapan, Philip, there is no value added if they accept MUDA because they need to allocate one or two seats to MUDA. But again, MUDA has no history to prove that they can be a help to Pakatan Harapan. So I think it's either MUDA as independent or MUDA won't contest in Melaka at all.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Professor Dr. Azmin Hassan, political analyst at University Technology Malaysia, giving us all the lowdown in the Malacca state elections. And it's going to be an interesting fight. And yeah, I do think it's going to be pretty much a barometer of GE15 because... But at the same time, the interesting point is that it's going to be fluid. So in Malacca, it could be this kind of three-cornered fight. In Pahang, it could be a two-cornered fight. In another state, it could be a four-cornered fight. Who knows?
If it is true, as what Dr. Azmi says, and Pakatan Harapan does win, then will it force then pass to say, look, okay, we have to wait UMNO?
Yeah.
At a federal level, if that comes out to be the case.
Well, we'll be watching this space very, very closely. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.